Right, this is the Hardline, live from Radio Row.
You know what the Hardline just learned?
What?
The Clippers are building their own arena out by SoFi.
There you go. Now you're talking.
They're getting out of there.
Yep. Yeah. Getting out of this racket.
Huh. Okay.
I mean, when you have an owner...
When's that happened?
That's worth what? $10 billion? $20 billion? He's like $40 billion, isn't he?
I think you might have to keep going. I remember looking this up. Are we all cutting out?
No, I think it's
not me.
Me.
I'm great. Okay. I sound
jerk.
Awesome.
I remember looking this up a few years ago, and he's like 30 times Cuban.
Oh, okay.
So do you think the Norman Powell tax situation is problematic then?
I don't think so, no. I think Clippy and Microsoft are doing quite well.
Okay, good.
Palmer's net worth, $97.4 billion.
I told you.
Oh, my God.
I told you.
God.
Did you pinpoint him at the game the other day?
No.
I watched him pretty much the entire game.
Interesting.
Yeah. He's hard to miss.
Does he go to every game?
I think so. Yeah.
I couldn't find you guys.
How are you guys not all sitting together?
Honestly, I just went rogue to go get tickets back when I was thinking about it, because there's a feeling about like family vacation that's in your head of what it will be like when you guys all get together and you go to your family vacation. And then there's a reality that, unfortunately, those moments of perfection on a family vacation are fleeting. They're like these little 5-minute moments in a week long, where you're all, you know, looking at the ocean with your ice cream cone, and you're like, this is what I wanted. This is that trip. The rest of it's a headache and a beating, and almost sometimes not even worth the squeeze, as they say. The ticket road trips, especially the side ones, the non-radio-centric ones where, hey, should we go to a concert together? Or, hey, should we go to a game or even a dinner or breakfast? I guess I've just become so beaten by being the point man that I just went rogue thinking nobody's going to want to go see the Clippers Bucks. And I went to my basketball buddy Donovan, and he said do it. And so we just got tickets like a month ago. I didn't even ask around because I just thought nobody else would want to. And then they wanted to, and they may have even ended up with better seats. I don't know. I don't even know what price point they were looking at.
Same.
But I was just thinking, you know what?
Over a hundy?
It might have been 100 with fees, but I think the actual ticket was 75, 80.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, I was...
And I lost a lot of money to Saroy on the side.
I was assuming more people would go tomorrow night, but then that ran across team dinner, but I think
price point was significantly higher.
Yes, yes.
I mean, you could have got in last night for 15 bucks.
Like, are you paying $300 to go see that game tomorrow
night?
Yeah.
Nah, but half that, probably.
Okay.
Probably, instead of 100, it'll be 160 or so, probably.
Okay.
But it's the Bucks.
Sure.
I don't mind helping them pay their part of the tax. Look who's here.
Dan McDowell.
Up a little more.
Dan McDowell.
Okay.
You already started?
I'm glad you're here.
Of course, we're on time.
Bro, every segment we're on time.
It's a power hour.
Every single segment we're
I've never heard him go to break before 33.
Huh.
Today.
Looks like guy who walked over scooter beat you here.
We talked nonstop from 4:50 to 6:10.
Did you scoot?
Know that?
Did you scoot over here?
Oh yeah.
He zipped past me hard earlier. I got to give him that one.
Okay.
Scooter guy.
All right, so I need to tell you guys of my adventure last night when you guys were all at basketball.
In NFL hat.
Well, we're at an event, so why not?
Yeah,
support your team.
Loves the NFL in general.
I'm rooting for a good game this weekend.
I think you're going to find
the integrity of the league and the shield.
Yeah.
So I've got a couple of buddies who did pretty well for themselves after college.
Wow. Why don't you tell us about your buddies that did do very well?
Yeah,
we never hear about them.
Charge?
Feels like there's prerequisite, if you will.
I don't know.
Success.
Things worked out for some of these guys. So a couple of my good friends from college, they live down in Manhattan Beach. And for those who don't know about Manhattan Beach.
Where Michelle Tafoya is from.
That's right.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it's like the golden spot of America. Like, I really do. It is perfect. It's almost fake when you're down there. Like, you feel like that you're in you know, some little snow globe where it just everything going on in there is just perfection. It's every home is overlooking the ocean. The little quaint shopping area and restaurants and coffee shops, the street that they're on. I mean, it is just everything looks perfect.
Where is it from here?
A little south.
Toward the ocean.
Toward the ocean, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but it's not.
Southwest.
But like in reference to like Santa Monica.
Yeah, it's over there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It is?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's over in that direction.
All right.
And it is absolutely glorious. I mean, it's worth making a trek over there just to walk around that little area that I was just talking about, the shopping area.
Were you wondering, how don't I live here?
Yeah. Yeah, but I know I don't have the millions of dollars that it takes. I mean,
Celebrity net worth disagrees.
I mean, it does. Yes, if you could tell me I could end up anywhere in the United States of America, that would be probably at the very top of the list.
Wow.
Now, I wouldn't want to ever leave, because when you leave the bubble of a Manhattan Beach, you got to get out into mainstream LA, and that's just a beating to get to.
See, I've always had my sights set on like Driftwood or Dripping Springs or
sure. Well, that's why.
Well, this I can't afford it.
That's why I've always wanted to be right next to Vons and Ventura.
Yeah.
You know?
Never want to leave.
Yeah.
Get groceries.
Right.
Anytime you want.
Pick up your laundry right there.
Yeah, just walk to the laundry place.
Coffee place.
Yeah, it's all right
there. Fish tacos.
So my buddies have lived there for a while now, and so last night went down there and had some food, some din-din down there, and hung out at one of their houses beforehand, and it was nice. We ate at this little outside seafood place overlooking the water. I mean, it's like, again, you feel like you're in a different country. Everything just seems so perfect. Like, you can't screw it up type thing. So after we have dinner, delicious dinner, and by the way, they have figured things out too. COVID's affected them down there to where there's the little quaint shopping area. You would park at these little stores and then you would just walk all around. Well, you can't do that anymore because the city allowed the restaurants and coffee shops to basically where the old parking spots were. That's now patio space.
Oh, wow.
So they were able to keep, I mean, during the lockdown or whatever, they were able to stay afloat in business because people would eat outside. Well, they've kept all that out there through the pandemic, and it's going to remain that way. So now it's like the best of both worlds. If you live down there, you can walk. I mean, it's literally a 2-minute walk from any house to get down to this little area, and there you can't park down there. So, like, tourists can't go down there and just park now. You literally almost have to live there to go down there or take an Uber down there and walk down there.
Huh.
So they've carved out a nice little niche. So we're walking to the restaurant, and it's like probably 8 o'clock or something like that, 7:30, and we walk past this one bar. And my buddy tells me, he's like, this bar, and there were the windows were open. They have like these barn door shutter things that are open so you can see inside and hear what's going on. It was loud. There were a lot of people in there. And he was like, that's the only bar here that stays open past like 11 o'clock. And I was like, well, let's go. After we have dinner, let's go have a beer there. And he was like, yeah, for sure. So we have dinner. It's awesome. We walk over to this bar. And we sit down. And there are two people sitting next to us. Two girls sitting next to us at this bar. And there's, you know, 50 people inside. So we're sitting there yapping and talking and laughing and having a good time. And a song comes on and one of the girls leans over and was like, do you like this song? We're having an argument about it or whatever. And I don't even know what song it was. It wasn't even important. And
she ate
like, she's like, I love it. And she doesn't like it. And, you know, and I'm like, yeah, it's a good song. And so the other girl was like, oh, you're an idiot. This is terrible. This is awful, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so we're kind of laughing about it. And so, Danny, you can attest to this, because actually I used this line on you on Twitter like Saturday night. Whenever
about Animal House?
Okay, so what happens whenever I get mad? What will I say? I'm going to kick your ass with...
Karate.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
So my fallback is always... I'm going to kick your ass with karate.
Because it's
karate.
From Tenacious D.
Yeah.
With karate, I'll kick your ass from here to Tiananmen Square.
So...
Right, Dan?
Right in the derriere.
Yeah, yeah, you MF-er. I'm going to kick you in the derriere. Yeah.
I tell this girl, I'm like, stop arguing with me, you know, whatever. This, I'm going to take you outside and kick your ass with karate. Just something. Laugh it off, turn around. And within 5 seconds, the other girl walks, gets up off the stool.
Yes.
Where she's next to me, walks around me to both my friends and goes, what did you just say to my friend?
And she ate.
And I was like, what? And I was like, wait, I've made a joke about kicking her ass with karate. Oh, because she's Asian?
Oh.
Hell yes.
So, yes, the girl that I did say that to was Asian. And I go, no.
That's my thing.
Yeah. And then how do you?
I'm guy who says that.
Yeah. And then
to everybody.
How do you
could be Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
How do you explain that, though? Like, I'm a karate guy. I'm like, so you practice karate?
I mean,
No.
There's the lyrics to Tenacious D. What's the song called? I can't even remember.
I'm seriously trying to get on Twitter to show the tweet that I sent to Danny about it. I'm like, he's my friend, and I was going to beat him up with karate, too.
He's white.
Couldn't find it because I was in a full panic, you know? And she's like, I cannot believe. And so my buddy is sitting there laughing.
I hope they're pouring gasoline on this, going, yeah, I can't believe you said that, bro. Uncool, man.
And I'm in the biggest defense mode, thinking that
just
someone
wait,
thought that I am
chopsticks.
Yes, that I make a karate statement, and who would pick that up? Like, if you are an Asian person, and someone mentions,
why did you whisper it? Yeah, if you're
volume
so
lowered a little bit,
just shut up.
So ballsy about this point,
Asian.
Would you take offense to someone just saying karate?
I mean, I think it starts with you threatened violence against a woman that you had met five minutes prior.
It's a joke. She knew it.
And just assumed that she would roll with that line of humor.
All right, how many $9 IPAs were you in? Because that'll explain a lot.
A few.
Exactly.
There were a few consumed. But we were laughing at
it. We know what your history is.
And then it was karate.
I'm just Corby.
That's basically what I said. I'm like, if you knew me,
this is what I do.
Just Corby, man. This is just me.
Don't cancel Corby.
My buddy, as
she's uncancelable.
Like, as she is literally laying into me. And my friend is laughing. He kind of puts his arm around her and goes,
hey, sweetheart.
He goes, whatever. He goes, you know, he's Asian. And she looked at me, and I kind of look at her, you know, and she's kind of looking me up and down, and she goes, I'm terribly sorry.
You're kidding.
You are kind of a mix of every. You could pass as a lot.
And that's what we talked about. I'm like,
it's the
you're
Mike
so
McDaniel
lucky that,
of
yeah, that you have a
Native
friend.
Native American?
It could be any of it.
Yeah.
Hispanic?
He identifies as.
Italian?
Irish?
Just, yeah,
I'm not
what
sure.
Are you?
He's got,
what is this?
Right. You're America.
And so she goes and sits down, and she kind of looks back over, and she's like, I'm sorry. I was like, it's cool.
I can see it now.
So he steps in this Larry David situation that none of us could get out of.
I would have been in cuffs.
Yeah. He walks out of there as the king of the bar.
And then
king of a whole people, a continent, billion.
Lucky.
Swearing fealty to him. Yeah.
Why
you're lucky
just tell
we
me
weren't
that
there.
At the beginning? Oh my God, I didn't think it was important. I'm a karate guy.
Gotta give her a bow.
Jeez.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well.
It was fun, though. It was a good time down there. Not gonna lie.
That's awesome.
Snake.
We had to piece it all together via text thread this morning. So I'm like, all right, how did all this start? You know?
Do you remember?
Like, well, your friend. Pretty handy move there by your buddy.
Oh, I know. It was awesome.
No wonder he's rich.
He is Asian.
Is this guy Chinese?
All right, let's take a break. Let's come back.
Not full blown.
No.
I mean,
no. It was obvious. Not that.
Yeah.
All right, the Hang Zone is here with us. We will.
We're just hanging.
Yeah, we're just chilling, man. We'll do some more next. It is nearing 6 o'clock here on the Hard Line, live from Radio Row, where, you know, not too bad of a crowd here for a Monday afternoon. The Hang Zone is with us, Dan and Jake.
Hey.
Paying their penance, hanging with us.
It's great. You got chips.
So I want to know, and Bob, you mentioned this. You guys were out here for something, and you went to Compton?
Yeah.
You find any audio?
No, I did not find audio, and my memory is bad on this, and that's why having Dan here to help clear everything up will be great. A true historian of our calendar over the years, don't you think, Dan? If anyone is a steel trap of a memory.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely you. No, so we were doing one of our Stars road trips, I want to say. I guess. I don't know. It's kind of cool that we've been out here so many times that we can't keep them straight anymore.
Were you on the show?
No.
Okay, so it's over 10 years ago.
Yeah, I was doing
over 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, so then it very well could be the random Stars trip that also helped us get to the NBA All-Star game, which somehow, as I recall, we pretty much just had to ask to get credentialed to an NBA All-Star game, and it was so.
See, I'm going to say it could be a Stars trip, but it also could have been a, you know, a Cowboy training camp.
Man.
Because we would do Cowboy training camp on the weekend.
Okay. That could
and
be.
On the weekend, you know, in between our two-week stay, plan a bit, which meant we might just go to a Dodger game.
Right.
We might go ditch.
Up to the pipe.
No. Well, that's now. Oh. Current Bob will do that. But we might go to, you know, ditch Big Dick Hunter at a restaurant.
Yeah.
Or we might go
slide
to the
across
beach.
The hood.
Venice Beach.
Yep.
Interview some people.
Do some lifting.
But one year with Donovan, we decided to go to Compton. We were going to go see the spot where Reginald Denny got stomped.
Jeez,
God.
It's our L.A. Ghoul tour.
Don't shoot G's me.
Whoa. It was just the term.
You're stomped. You're driving around
got his skull
Florida
crushed
looking
by a cinder block.
Where Tiger Woods got pulled over and couldn't pass the sobriety test.
I did do that, yeah.
And where Jeffrey Epstein brought underage girls wearing college sweatshirts to have his way with them.
El Brillo Way.
In a dead-end cul-de-sac, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's been a lot of cool things that have happened in L.A.
Yeah, like getting hit in the head with a cinder block.
So, yeah, we decided to go to Compton to see that, but also, because of a Chappelle bit,
yeah,
it was we're going to go buy a Lucy. You know what a Lucy is?
A cigarette.
Yes,
of course.
Oh, we all know.
Oh, killer. Join us.
I went with you to get the Lucy.
You, me, Bob, and Donovan then? Because we were all...
Because we went to... We did that on the way to an Angels game because of Brad Wilkerson. Got us tickets to go to the game.
Okay, so we were...
Is this where we got the nickname Killer?
What?
I think that's when you let one rip in the... The
well, that was at Dodger Stadium.
Well, it was the same camp. So we did Dodger Stadium, and then we did...
So you remember
Angels
the trip based on a fart?
Well, yeah, you cleared out half the store.
It was an amazing fart.
It's not the trip where Killer got his nickname when Bob and Donovan left training camp after the show one day to drive to San Diego.
No, I was still just Jason.
And they heard a pregame show for the Padres. Their producer on the pregame show was Steve Killer Kellison.
It feels like now that I've been stereotyped as a sports guy, that it would be something I would do driving to San Diego and we're late for first pitch that we have to listen to the Padres broadcast on the way in.
Yes, you. I don't know how you got stereotyped as a sports guy. It's
what
really weird.
What were you doing? But it... I mean, that produced the greatest nickname in ticket history. Lee's got the coolest nickname ever. He's the Killer.
And he introduces himself as Killer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did the
Is that your credentials say Killer Kellison on it?
I'll try next year.
Yeah, good.
Hey, can we go back to something? Brad Wilkerson, can you guys talk about your favorite moments with him real quick?
It must have been the time he gave us free tickets, yeah.
So So was this a Cowboys camp?
It was
a
Cowboys training camp.
Okay.
And Rick, not Rick, Tom Gribble was there.
We had a car of five people?
We had two cars.
Okay.
Dan and I rode in one, and Donovan was going back and forth between the two cars every time we would stop someplace.
Because Donovan Florfield was our tour guide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're good. We got Donovan in the car. These are idiots.
Yeah, so we were rolling.
No, we're not.
I don't think you ever got out of the car for most of it.
No, I don't think I did. I think I was
wise.
But we were rolling, and yeah, went
Bob's
in.
Acting like it's a ride-along with a cop.
I think I bought a Lucy, and Donovan bought a 40-ounce.
He did buy a 40-ounce because I was supposed
to. He said it was his dream to buy a 40-ounce in Compton.
My job. I had the beatdown of driving all the gear back from Ventura back to Dallas. That's when we had so much stuff we had to haul everywhere. Donovan said, bring this 40 back with you. And halfway back to Dallas, I opened up the back of the van, and the 40 fell out and smashed.
Oh.
He still, to this day, I don't think has forgiven me for that.
Can you imagine what that would be worth today?
It was like a trophy to him.
Oh, my God, yeah.
He wanted you to transport a 40 back.
And you know what the stupid thing is? I could have just stopped off and bought another 40.
And said, yeah, this is the
you're
one.
You're an honest man.
But, like Stuckey's in freaking Waxahachie.
Maybe I should go buy him a 40 on this trip just to say I'm sorry.
Yeah, do.
Well, we're close to Compton.
Yeah.
So did you get a cigarette?
Yeah,
no,
so how'd that go?
They wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I don't think they had Lucy's, which was
it's not really
shattered.
A thing. It's a thing you buy from someone on the street.
Yeah.
Like a guy.
I don't think that's true.
That's not something you go into a store and buy. That's illegal, right?
Well,
they can't just sell you a single cigarette, but you can buy them from guy out in front of...
According to the documentary I saw called The Chappelle Show.
Yeah.
Wasn't it... It was Ask a Black Man or something. It was some game show they had.
Paul Mooney.
It was part Chappelle Show, part Boys in the Hood.
I thought our guy Ashy Larry had... He was part of that skit, I think.
I think you're right.
And he was the one that, I think, answered it, a Lucy.
Yeah.
He's like, yes, that's right. It's a Lucy.
Yeah.
Okay, what do you guys think about this? Because Bob and I were talking about it, that typically Monday night of the Super Bowl is media night, right? Or Tuesday night, one of those two nights.
Yes.
I think Monday night is media night. Tuesday night is the media party, typically.
Yes, typically.
So, obviously, they're not having media night. The teams don't get here until Friday. And that's all COVID-related. They don't want them to get here and get sick in any way. So
the Rams aren't already here?
They'll fly in on Thursday.
Yeah, they're here. Sorry. So anyway, media day is like one of the biggest things of Super Bowl week. It's televised now. I mean, they've monetized it. It is huge for a million different organizations. Don't you think... Looking at it now, not from the lens of the pandemic, but just from the lens of getting someone sick and how you know you get someone. How do you catch a cold? Well, you catch it from someone else typically, or you get the flu where you're around somebody that has the flu. Don't you think moving forward that they're going to stop doing media day, not because of COVID, but because why would we subject every player on our team, every one of them, to 10,000 random people on this planet that can get within... The week of the game. Days before the game where you get within inches of them. And you're talking about just hundreds, thousands and thousands of people just walking right up to these people. Like, I think it's done. I think it's the stupidest thing ever, looking at it that way, that it ever happened in the first place.
Yeah, it's not coming back. We're done.
So did Dan end media day with Andy Reid? Like, is that the last one?
Is it? Was that Miami?
Was it Clown the year before?
Yeah.
Yes.
With Bones Fossil.
What a way to end.
Yeah, you went out on a high.
I've become...
You got kicked out, though.
I've become the lady from Telemundo, where...
Inez Sainz.
I'm one of the guy. One of the three things that people can mention that they saw.
But, I mean, think about all those... the Inez Sainz people that that's their life. They get so much material from that day... Like, that's they use that for... I mean, that's how they're known.
I'm not going to say it's gone forever just because things that make money, they... You know, even... A lot of things that I thought were going to change because of COVID, and then, this will change forever. they'll just, you know, people just roll
How's
right
How's that making
it.
Money, though? Like, they put it on NFL Network. They can just do that via Zoom. They're not selling tickets to that. It was free.
Well, they
the
were.
The spectacle of it, though.
Sponsor,
yeah, there's a sponsor for everything.
That it's not worth that, though.
I don't think so either. Days before,
but they
the
never had.
The year,
in
the,
in they've the, never had a player say, "Oh man, I got sick. It must have been my being exposed to 1,000
right.
media members."
Right.
Okay. So I was thinking about this last night, and the NBA historian sitting next to me had no idea. So let me ask you: did COVID kill NBA coaches in suits?
Yes.
Okay.
And I have no idea why, but. Look across the league.
All right. So as we were discussing this, like the first time we remember all the coaches in quarter zips.
The bubble.
Was in the bubble.
Yep.
And it will never go back. They all love it. They all love dressing like they're running a practice. And so Donovan and I are having this conversation. We're like, so how did not wearing a suit in any way have anything to do with COVID? Like, who even thought of this? Like, they
right.
couldn't get their suits into the bubble? Like, how did this happen?
I don't know.
It's a brilliant thing that a dress code. Remember, right?
Yeah, maybe you could only bring a few things, you know?
Well, right
so
before
I'm not
that.
Gonna pack all these suits.
In the run up to the bubble, we, of course, were very worried about what players were wearing and on the bench and wearing, you know, on the bus and everything like that. Like, the NBA got pretty stupid for a while, and then they backed it off gradually. Hockey, I think, still does it. But it starts with the coaches in a nice coat and maybe not a tie anymore, but they were all dressed business casual. And that's completely gone, and COVID took it.
I feel like the NBA started the dress codes and all that. When it was the Malice in the Palace, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's a whole big thing.
It was the thug era. Yeah. It was all the tattoos on Allen Iverson. My buddy Joe, who works for the Cavs, worked for Hoop Magazine, I think it was, back then, in New York.
Yeah.
When we went for the Tyson, or the fight in New York, we hung out with him for that night.
Yeah.
And
they were airbrushing tattoos.
Yeah, they airbrushed Iverson's arms.
That's right.
For the cover of that magazine.
Like, think about that.
And that
now.
Was a big thing.
That was only
made
like
him wear the
20
sleeve.
Years
but
ago.
I mean, even after that, they made him wear the sleeve during the game. That wasn't his idea.
Oh, really? Okay, to try to, hey, you're not appealing to our audience here. They're scared of the NBA, the cornrows and all that. So I think that's when they started, let's have a dress code, and they'll wear suits onto the plane and all this.
What about, like, at the Olympics, you see those coaches, I mean, it's really casual at the Olympics. They're wearing basically just a collared shirt.
I think they're going, it's morphing to where eventually all coaches will be wearing just uniforms, just like they do in baseball. They'll
be
wearing
so
the
great.
With headbands.
To see Red Auerbach and a guy like that just dressed in a tank top.
Are there old dumpy
McCarthy has
what's
the
oldest dumpiest NBA coach? There's fat football coaches still.
Tibbs is still in the league. So that's got to be number one.
Tibbs doesn't look very healthy at all.
No,
yeah, I
can't believe
Van
he's
Gundy.
Alive. They're not coaching.
I know, but he's the other Van Gundy. Not
who would be the worst one in a basketball uniform as a head coach? I mean, Don Nelson when he was
Frank Layden.
And, and if they really took it seriously and accessorized, like there's Rick Carlisle with a Rip Hamilton face mask just for no reason.
Do you know how stupid it is, though? I've always said this, even as a little kid, how dumb it is.
Don't say it.
That baseball managers dress like that. It's so stupid.
Is that the most commonly asked by your wife sports question known to man?
It's well,
and
that,
they just tell you, you have no answer. You're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Why are you asking me?
Why do you dress like a little boy?
That's nonsensical. There's no.
Back in the day,
no,
they would participate.
So
they would participate in warm-ups by
and you tell them that
throwing batting
say,
practice and hitting grounders and all
know.
That.
What
you
am I,
can't
I
do
know.
That in a Tom Landry suit.
Jake, it's either that or my favorite thing over the holidays because me and my son Brett were really enjoying making eye contact every time someone would come in the room during a football game, and like. gas, but why are they running it into the middle again?
Oh, yeah. Like, that's top five for sure.
Like, middle runs.
This doesn't seem to work.
for the wife that doesn't really follow football, the middle run is like the great mystery of man. Like, why are they doing that? It never run where the guys aren't. That makes no sense.
So my wife gets in that. Our buddy Fitz puts together a little pool where we all get in, you know, and
fake money.
Yeah, fake money. Been bet on these playoff games.
She doesn't
watch one game all year.
She always does great in that.
One game.
I see her name atop the leaders all the time.
But in this, she'll, you know, bet her own money, make her own decisions and all that. And then she'll cherry pick and watch, like, the Tennessee-Cincinnati playoff game because she had all her money in on Tennessee. And so she's watching this game, first game of the year. And she's like, do they practice, you think?
That's a great wife question.
And I'm like, wait.
They practice?
Yeah, I mean, they're just so stupid out there. Are they trying? Do you think they're trying to lose? Yeah, honey, they are. They know you have money on it, so they're trying to lose.
That's right. They just think.
Idiots.
Middle runs save everybody energy. Like, you just fall down, and the game expires. It's great. I love it.
All right. Thank you, boys. You're more than willing to stick around for Community Quick Hits.
You can do Community Quick Hits if you want.
What's our lead story today?
Well, this band hasn't toured North Texas in 7 years, and great, they're back.
Everybody likes Community Quick Hits, Community Quick Hits, Community Quick Hits. Everybody likes Community Quick Hits, Community Quick Hits, Community Quick Hits.
Community Quick Hits, brought to you by
Highly Mazda of Hurston, Arlington, and AmericanEagle.com.
Thank you, Michael. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, Danny.
Man, I'm sure your climate out there is just absolute perfection. Back here, it's been pretty good. I think we got up to 60 today, but man, it is so dry. I've been battling a flipping nosebleed all day long.
I've seen that before.
I know.
Bayless starts.
It's a hard line.
It's a tradition,
which makes no sense with Saroy being out there and all.
Right.
You know?
Typically, he leaves his cocaine at the producer seat.
Well, I catch my nosebleeds from him.
Right.
Like, they're contagious.
Right. Yes. Very.
Yeah.
So this band decided that their lead singer needed money. So they've decided to come back on tour, and we're talking about the legendary rock band The Who has not played Texas in 7 years. Their last Dallas concert was May 2nd, 2015. They were scheduled to play in Dallas as part of their 2019-20 Moving On tour, but their first date was postponed due to an illness in the band, and then the makeup date in 2020 was canceled due to what? The Pandy.
Yeah.
Now, I've seen them one time.
Yeah.
And it was a free ticket situation. A buddy of mine had an extra pair, and he said, hey, you want to go see The Who? And I said, you know what? Fine. And I think it was at the AAC. The seats weren't great. And
like,
I just remember...
within the last 20 years, right?
I just remember being really bored.
Hey, Danny, you're about my age.
Yeah.
We're old.
Yes.
I was telling Jake this. I swear, in the 80s, for some reason, I got stoked on The Who for a little while.
I heard you talking about this. I guess it was on The Hang Zone recently, and I was pretty fascinated by this, that you just went along on like a Who binge for a couple of years, right?
Yeah, I got into The Who, and it was around the Eminence Front days, I think. I don't know.
So that'd have been like 84.
And I swear they were having a farewell tour.
Yeah, they've been having a farewell tour, seems like 40 years now.
But in the 80s, and I really got into them, and I was begging my mom, can I go to this concert? It'll be their last one ever. Like, I knew anything about The Who. I'll never get a chance to see The Who again.
And here you are at 50.
And I could see him now, I guess, Danny's about to tell me, right?
You should go. This should be your makeup to your boyhood self. Like, I'm going to go now.
And this is usually...
I'll go with you.
When they announce tours, they're usually like Elton John, where they're 3 years out. This one is May 5th, and we're already giving tickets away on the ticket text line. So, yeah, they'll be back on May 5th. They've got a gig in Austin on the 3rd and Houston on the 8th. So I guess it takes... The Who 1 to 2 days off in between shows to recover. and get their bandages, you know,
dude,
cleaned.
That guy, Roger Daltrey, is like, I think he does some sort of weightlifting
Tybo,
or something.
Maybe.
Yeah, like he's shredded.
He has
for
a weight.
80-year-old. He's got the one weight. Yeah.
He does what is, he does planks.
What is Pete Townsend's net worth? Well, let's welcome Gordon Keith to the stage, too.
Hi. Yeah. Hi, Christmas.
By the way, I feel like Corby was just searching for the word exercise.
Where's Gordon? Yeah.
If we wanted to do a words with Corby.
Does Roger Daltrey still, like, take his shirt off and
yes.
stuff?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's old up like that Samoan guy at the Olympics?
Man, he does look good. This is I'm seeing a photo here from just a couple of years back, and the guy's pretty in really incredible shape, considering, what are they, 72, 73, maybe older?
Yeah. Dude,
I'd just like to see John Entwistle again. I haven't seen him.
He died of a cocaine overdose at a hotel in Las Vegas one day before a show. So leave him alone.
Sounds a little Kemp Spinney, but okay.
Let him die in peace.
Gordon, who's their bass player now? Is it Pino Palladino? I know he's been touring with them. Yeah, for a long time. I think he's with them, so I don't know why they change. But
all right, is he as good as Thunderfingers?
What is what's Pete Townsend and Roger Daltrey's net worth?
My high school nickname.
In order, probably $40 million and zero.
So
wait, Pete Townsend's worth more than that.
Pete Townsend
is worth like $300 million.
Is
right?
worth 180. What is that low to you? $180 million he has in his pockets.
I know, but
Gordon, tell
them
the
brains.
Tell them that $180 million in this day and age really isn't that much.
It doesn't get you that far.
It doesn't.
It just doesn't.
Roger Daltrey is worth $90 million, Danny.
Oh.
Do you know how tall Roger Daltrey is?
Boy, like, this is what a
yeah,
left
no,
turn.
5'3".
I don't at all.
6'7".
This says
you have access to this information.
This says 5'5".
Okay.
Is that true?
That's probably about right.
I would have said like 6 feet tall. Like,
how did I know that drop was coming? That's awesome.
I'm seeing 5'6".
It's in actuality.
Five, six is what I've got.
Okay. Do you know what his handicap is in golf?
Okay, I don't know.
He's missing a foot.
Man,
your computer is pretty powerful.
Wow, your computer gets all of the internet.
His chin. okay, so what date is that? We're all going.
It's not course adjusted, though.
I don't know. I closed out the window. It doesn't matter anyway.
It's May 5th.
We had a
May the 5th be with you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We had a shooting the 13th.
That is Friday the 13th.
We had a shooting in Uptown last night. Were you aware of this morning, Gordon?
No.
Yeah, 2 a.m. over on Lemon and Howell. What is that?
That's not Uptown.
Yeah, it's kind of Uptown. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is Uptown.
Was it now?
Yeah, it's like McKinney and Lemon,
sure
basically.
It wasn't mentioned on Muse this morning because they just played Space People for 4 minutes.
So frustrating. Seriously, we had like one of the best endings to Muse and the Use ever. We were laughing. We were dying laughing. There was one joke coming after another. We had like built this. It was like a rant tapestry that had been built towards the ending madness. And then we get finished with it, and all of a sudden we hear a commercial that steps over our last sentence and say, "What's going on, Jared? You just throw it to break?" And he goes, "Oh no, you guys have been off the air for 3 minutes." And then we all felt so cheap and hollow. Because it wasn't...
That is like a defeating feeling.
It is. Because it was worth nothing if it wasn't broadcast. The way I feel about life, you know?
Yeah, right.
Since it was one of the first times that that's ever happened, I'm sure Jer, next time he'll just call the engineer right away and just tell him you're off the air.
He did call Kern, and Kern didn't have his phone where he could see it.
So listen to this wild story, Corby.
Okay.
This man was found
continue talking.
Near a parking garage in Uptown, and he had been shot, and the police responded at 2 a.m. Howell and Lemon, which is Uptown. It's over there near McKinney. He was taken to a hospital, guys. He died. You hear that, Corby?
Wow, Danny.
Is that...
They later learned that he was involved in a disturbance. But there wasn't any more information released, and they're searching for a suspect who is described as a 25 to 35-year-old man wearing a white hoodie and dark pants.
This is one of the top newsmen in town.
It's the best story I've ever heard in my life.
Wow.
It's one of those And look, I know people that search
anyway,
for news stories.
We were all laughing at the story I was telling.
People that search for news stories, it's all about the headline now. Man murdered in Uptown. And you click it, and it's like two sentences. There's no detail. It's just real quick police blotter gibberish that they don't have. There's no story. You guys notice that?
Why'd you do it?
Yeah, why would you do it?
Why not? The headline was kick ass.
The springboard to this rant.
Oh, okay.
Thankfully, this story came across Danny's desk because he had a pre-digested rant about it.
So, Corby, you remember my neighbor,
about
Abel?
The state of media?
Abel is the your neighbor that was the fried food connoisseur.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's won like five state fair fried food awards. Well, he's going to be on a TV
a
show
story.
Called...
just dropped the transmission on the highway.
Called Deep Fried Dynasty on A&E, and they're featuring state fair deep fried cooks, and Abel Gonzalez is going to be on it. His nickname is Fried Jesus, Gordon.
And this is at Howell and Lemon?
Yeah. Abel was
some people
killed.
Call it
he's wearing
town.
A white hoodie.
Right.
Abel was wearing a white hoodie.
He was the shooter, and he shot him with a gun that shot fried food.
If
and
you've eaten any fried food at the fair,
right. Shot a fried
please call.
Right. And it didn't. Look. The man died of cholesterol that he killed.
The dispute was over the height of, you know.
Of how tall Roger Daltrey is.
See, you guys are getting it.
The waist by five.
Take this.
Way fewer people would die from gunshots
if the internet would get its act together and have a unified height on Roger Daltrey.
Died from cholesterol.
If all guns would just fire fried food.
Shot,
here, eat the... He
shot
just kept feeding him.
100,000 deep fried gumbo balls into the victim's mouth until his heart exploded.
Be delightful.
Dude, I will watch this TV show.
Yeah, me too.
Because I'm pretty fascinated by the fried food scene at the fair. I don't like the food, but I like the scene.
Well, you've made a lot of declarations here. You're going to watch that. You're going to go to see that Who concert.
With you.
Welcome to Corby.
You're going with me to see the Who.
I'm going to see the Who?
Yes, you're going to honor
and
Boyhood.
With Abel?
With Abel and the fried food,
only
yes.
Only if you came.
Yeah.
What? Boyhood Dan would
die.
You there.
You don't tell me to die.
You die.
Do I look like I have a fried Twinkie in my hand? Don't talk to me that way.
All right. That's all I have. You guys got anything?
Good stuff, Danny.
Birthdays.
Go over it again.
Where's Uptown?
Did you know Roger Daltrey was Catholic?
What's the whole... What do you call that? How do you...
What? The point that went nowhere.
What do you call what?
The redistricting, the
gerrymandering?
The gerrymandered Uptown.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Jerry.
It's gerrymandered. It's here at the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Doing very good.
All right, Sturm Center is...
Here is the medieval bully.
Roy!
We got one more left. Song.
Is there sheet music of this, Gordon?
I would love to see this thing charted out.
Where did this song come from?
It was an early internet meme, from what I remember. There's a video that goes with it and everything.
So good.
It's really, really low rent.
All right, let's do the last one, known as
Sturm Center.
Sponsors:
Chattanooga Whiskey and Rodeo Goat.
Bap. Here's Bob.
All right, thank you very much. So on today's Sturm Center, based on the time we have here, there were a couple things I wanted to get to, but we may only get to one. I sat here next to Dan, who for years has gone on and on about his love of women, and more specifically women's sports. And with that, something caught my eye yesterday I wanted to make sure really everybody at this table knew about. What do you guys know about Caitlin Clark?
She made three big long-ass three-pointers, but we didn't see the rest of the game.
He's right.
Is that it? Is it true, like, she made three of those, and that's...
Oh, she made a ton of them.
Okay.
So, Caitlin Clark is all the rage in women's college basketball, and normally we don't cover that in the space.
How does Danny know anything about that?
Because
what just happened?
Because I put their video in Slack.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I do want you to see the video.
What just happened?
It's like...
So, Caitlin Clark has scored 40 points or more in four games this year and two of her last four.
So she's the dominant women's basketball player.
Yes, she is leading the country. Leading the country in scoring, and I just wanted to share with you a couple of videos here, if you don't mind, Dan. She plays for the Iowa Hawkeyes, and so you're going to see her. She's in pink here. She's just going to pull
over. She's the one in the pink?
She's just going to cross. She's just going to cross half court and jack a three from that.
Damn, jacked it hard there. That was from...
I mean,
during your half court.
This is what we call the Steph Curry effect, I think we believe.
As female LaMelo.
Kids all across the country, watch this one. They're all trying to guard her now. Now, we should point out Michigan's ahead, so she's actually losing this game. I don't know if that in any way costs you to dock her a little bit, but...
Hey, now.
46
points.
I
think you can do that.
Jacked a three.
What do you think of Caitlin Clark?
It's incredible.
Now, I'm not about to...
Are you saying she could play in the real NBA?
That is what he's saying, I think.
No, I think what is funny is just telling the story, everyone's bracing for me to tell you she's a dude or something.
Yeah, I thought you were about to say
something. No.
She used to, be Cameron.
It's a girl who plays basketball and shoots the ball from half court and makes quite a few of them
so
at a very high level. And I think it's awesome.
All right.
And I just wanted to make sure you knew about it.
That's incredible.
No, it's not. I'm not saying she's a dude.
How would you even come across this? Even you.
Huh.
For the first time.
Interesting, too.
How about Discover?
For the first time this year, I watched SportsCenter because I was in a hotel.
Across that.
Oh, so you just learned of her.
I just learned about her last night.
Okay.
And saw she was leading the country in scoring, and I just thought, wow, what a deal.
He had only seen girls make layups, and so this, like, floored him that they have...
I didn't know they could throw it that far. It's like from half court.
You know, who thought that, like...
They're so sexist.
Yeah.
No, I think it's great.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they do
really,
use a tiny ball, right?
Well.
Yeah, the ball's
smaller. It is a tiny ball.
That's like a golf ball.
I can dunk that ball.
Their uterus can't handle shooting a normal-sized ball.
Dude.
What does that mean?
What?
Their uterus can definitely
The uterus is like one of the strongest muscles in the human body.
Right.
To you.
Interstitial.
Yeah. I've experienced it.
Sturm Center.
She wasn't a dude. We actually fished.
She is not a dude.
Right.
She was the trick. She was one, Jake.
Right.
Dennis Allen, now the coach of the New Orleans Saints.
Good. You know, we were a little worried Denny wasn't going to get that promotion.
Why?
Well, you know, Denny doesn't have the best track record as a head coach, Bob. But we, his friend group, we know what's inside of Denny.
That's what y'all were talking about on your Slack channel?
Yeah.
Okay.
Friends with an Aggie, huh?
I literally, one time in the ocean, met Dennis Allen, and that turned into me being best friends with him for years and years and years.
In the ocean?
Yet to meet an NFL head coach in the ocean.
So. Yeah. I will say.
You weren't near the ocean.
We were in the ocean.
I would say at this table, nobody's met more NFL people in the ocean than Corbin. okay, so our last story takes us to Beijing. And I was reading this over the weekend.
Boo, China.
Dr. Beijing.
In the New York Times,
Your
guys,
people.
Which I...
That's right. Thank you.
Which I read, despite being scolded for reading it by the musers.
He had an Asian story earlier about how somebody mistook him for Asian.
We need to send you the notes for today's show, Gordon.
Yeah,
a lot of these jokes will be a fire.
Ask him about the Jimi Hendrix hypothetical. See how much is his people.
You disgust me.
Oh, man.
So did you know the Winter Olympics are being held in Beijing, China? And the problem with that is they don't have snow in Beijing. Did you know that
they have to import it 100% all the way from China.
100% of the snow at the Beijing Olympics is man-made.
I bet they made it in a lab.
Mm-hmm. They might have made it in a lab.
I wonder where that lab is located. What province?
So I didn't know this, but Beijing has no water. And when I say that, it is 36,000 gallons per resident compared to in America. How much water do we have per resident, do you think, in our beautiful
naturally
country?
Here?
Available to us as Americans. Our water resources are how much per
citizen? They're at 36,000.
They're at 36,000. What do we have?
Per person?
Per person.
In the country or just Beijing?
Beijing, that region of China.
Okay.
More. Yeah, I say we have more.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like 100,000.
2.3 million gallons per resident in the United States. 2.3 million.
We're the best.
They're 36,000.
Let's move here.
Which actually compares to the African nation of Niger, which is right on
the... Why do you point that at me?
Sahara, you've often...
I told you you love Joe Rogan.
It's Joe Rogan bit.
Whoa.
That's
the reason we're doing this. You've often championed the countries on the western edge of the Sahara, and they are at 36,000. So they have had to reroute all sorts of water tributaries, rivers, and so forth. They've rerouted them away from farms to get them to Beijing so they can make snow for the Olympics.
Oh, no.
It's an absolute true story. And so they're not quite sure what it's going to do to some of the farmers that no longer have water routed to their area. But this is how the Chinese government is making snow for our Olympic Games.
Go ahead. Dan has a whole rant about this.
I was just wondering if those farmers were anywhere near
Chad?
Or perhaps where they were in the Dell.
Wow.
Jeez, dude.
We gave you that much time to come up with something.
Do you think... There's a big market for...
He doesn't think...
Thank you.
He doesn't think that sucks.
He's already broadcasting
Thank you.
Pre-K.
Now, there's a lot of people out there just saying, wow.
You think there's a big market?
Right.
Like that's a.
I'm one of them.
It's pretty hot on ChineseFarmersOnly.com.
And that's Sturm Center.
Sturm Center.
You don't have to be lonely.
Well, that'll do it from day one. The ticket programming live from the Super Bowl in Los Angeles. Thanks to our sports buddies who showed up today, Jake and Dan and Gordon. Gordon and his crew will be on the air tomorrow morning, bright and early, 5:30 a.m. Is that confirmed?
Still here. Still here.
You don't have to leave. Just don't leave. Just do the whole thing.
I don't understand why those guys just left. They had 30 seconds to wait. They wouldn't wait for you.
They're jerks.
Totally rude.
We don't have friends.
I'm friends.
You are.
Thanks, Gordon.
I'm just friends.
We'll do it tomorrow. See you then.
That's the end of the game.
The game is over. The game is over.